Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. It is, and we have found him. Live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Chris Sanders joins us now. Chris, your former coach was just on with us and said hello. He hopes you're doing well.
Hey, he's doing well, man. Quick story, man. The reason why I respect that guy so much, I was a rookie. I think it was my fourth game, and I was practicing so well, and he actually made me a captain playing against the Chicago Bears, so I have much, much respect for him.
Oh, well, that's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, and 20, I had my worst game.
26 years ago today.
Wow.
The Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Oh, man.
I know it's tough because of the result, but I know you've said it many times of just how blessed you were to play in that game and be able to say that you played in a Super Bowl.
It was really cool because the thing about it is after the game, you have a lot of emotions that are going on, and I'm upset. Everybody's crying. My family, my mom was crying because she was sad. But here's the thing to really put things in perspective. I was sitting there kind of pouting, kind of mad at everybody, and my mom whispered in my ear. She said this. She said, "Chris, you just fulfilled a dream that you dreamt about all your life." So I went from sad to being happy because we got to understand that on 0.00001% have a chance to make it in the NFL, but also to make it to the Super Bowl. And as a kid dreaming, I had a chance to see my dream being fulfilled. So I have no qualms, no sadness, just full of joy, man.
What do you think of Robert Saleh and his press conference yesterday? Joe and I are fired up.
He's intense, man. I mean, he almost wanted to jump and get after some reporters. I mean, that's kind of tenacity that you want. And everybody coaches different, so I want to be respectful when I say this. I know Brian Callahan was more reserved and more calm and more collective, but then you got Robert Saleh that's ready to tear somebody's ear off. So when you have a guy with that intensity, with that type of, you know, tenacity to want to win, it's just going to rub off to so many players. So now you got a coach like that. Then you bring in different guys on your staff that have that same identity. Then you bring players that have that same tenacity to get after people. So it's a recipe for success.
That's all great. Let's go back to your Super Bowl loss 26 years ago. Coach just talked about how he would have kicked the extra point had Dyson scored. Would you have liked to have gone for it? Because you were on the field. That Rams team, Chris, you saw it. They were exhausted.
I would have went for two. I would have went for two because they were dog tired. They didn't want, you know, no parts of this anymore. So when you have a team that's on the ropes, I know everybody like kick the extra point to keep it going. I would have went for two because they didn't know what was going on. They were tired, and they were looking for Gatorade. So I would have definitely went for two, man.
What was it like that final drive being on the field when it's the Super Bowl, everybody's watching, and you're going down to try to win this thing?
Let me take you into the huddle. We were Steve Mack was in the huddle, and sometimes we went fast paced. But we were in the huddle. If you watch Frank Wycheck's face, Derek Mason's face, Eddie George's face, everybody was in that huddle with so intentionality to focus on this is the last play, whatever play we call, this is it. So when Steve Mack called the play, the crowd is standing up and everybody's getting excited. And my mind is, I'm lining up, getting ready to line up. I'm like, man, this is it. So as I'm watching, I'm lined up on the left, Kevin Dyson and Wycheck's on the right, and as I'm watching the play unfold, it was kind of like a dream that was you're in slow motion, like, go, Kevin Dyson. And then he comes up a yard short, we lose him, and the confetti falls down. So it was a surreal moment.
Did you think he scored? Because, I mean, it happened so fast.
No, it was close, but it wasn't even close. Because when I saw him get tackled – and I saw him try to reach out for it. I knew it was short, and I was like, man, if we just had a couple of more seconds or 1 second, I think we would have pushed it in with Eddie George because that was the identity of our team, man. But, man, great moment, great atmosphere, just something that you'll never forget.
Where were you on the field at this point?
I was on the left, and I was open on the back side of the –
That's what I thought.
I was open. But, man, it was just surreal, man. But at the end of the day, you made a great point. I made it to a Super Bowl, and maybe one day I'll coach in one.
No, that's true. Yeah, I mean, let me ask you, 26 years ago, does it feel 26? Does it feel 2? Does it feel 50? What does it feel like when you think about
– See, it only feels it when it's that type of the season. Like right now, the Super Bowl is going on next week, so all those memories come up, all those playoff things come up because it's the Super Bowl. But during the year, you really don't think about it because you're so busy being, you know, a husband and all those things, a coach, so you really don't think about it. But when the day of the Super Bowl or the week of the Super Bowl, that's when the emotions come up. That's when you talk about the Music City Miracle. That's when, Kevin Dyson came up a yard short and you lose. It's just that's when the memories come up.
Let me ask you this. All right, let's talk about the Titans 2026. This is Cam Ward's team. You know, and now the receivers got to get with them. And, you know, the trend now is quarterbacks, receivers go somewhere and they hang out. What would you think if Will Levis went with Cam Ward and the receivers? Would that be okay or no?
It'd be like, it'd be good, but it'll feel odd. You know, and the reason why I say to feel odd is because, no disrespect, I think Will Levis is a good player, but they really don't know him. You got DK, you got Alec Iomanner, and you got Restrepo. They really don't know him. They know Cam Ward because they actually played with him a year.
Right.
So now getting to know him, they just don't know Will Levis. They know that he played a couple of years ago. We know he made some great plays, but at the end of the day, it's about relationship with quarterback and receiver, and they just don't know each other. So if Will Levis stays on the team or whatever they're going to do with him, they have to build a relationship, and it can actually start now, but it actually feel kind of different because you just don't know him.
I look at Chris Sanders is with us. I look at the hire of Brian Daboll as the offensive coordinator, very similar to when Heimerdinger came in. With you guys, that it just and no disrespect to Les Steckel, no disrespect to anybody before, but it's just the change was tangible, and I think it's going to have a huge impact on Cam Ward, especially because Daboll really likes Cam Ward and wanted him in New York. How do you think he's going to be able to develop Cam after a tough rookie year of having a lot of unknowns with the coaching staff?
You know, but here's the great part about it is everybody's talking about the development of Cam Ward, and he needs to develop and get better. So why not get one of the best coaches that's in the game that developed a lot of quarterback? You know, you got Daboll who developed Tom Brady. You know, who else did he do? There's a couple of guys that he had.
He's Josh Allen.
Josh Allen and Jackson Dart, some guys like that he basically developed. So now if you want to develop the quarterback, why not go get the best? He's been with Brett Favre. He's been with Tom Brady. He's been with those guys to help develop them. So he knows the X and O's. He saw every defense. He saw every front. So why not get the best? So you got Daboll that love Cam Ward. He's going to build a relationship with him, and he's going to do something great. But here's the key element of the whole thing. Before you can correct, you got to connect. So the good thing about it is he's got to connect with Cam, correct him, and develop him, and let him become the quarterback that he's capable of being.
Listen to you making some good points. I like that. Correct, you got to connect. Is that what you said?
You got to connect. Yeah, before you correct, you got to connect, because there's a lot of coaches that are great, but they're not connected with the player. All they want to do is correct. So before I can correct you, I got to connect with you, because now, as opposed to you hearing it being negative, you're going to hear it as a positive, and you're going to want to change. Connect before you correct.
Hey, did you play in the Senior Bowl?
Yes, I did. Oh, my gosh, it's a circus.
What was that like? It's going on right now down in Mobile. What was it like for you?
It was insane, because I didn't know what to expect. You have every GM, every head coach there that's watching every move. And then as they're watching practice, they have a pencil in their hand. So every move you make, how you respond, you know, how you catch the football, how you, you know, respond to coaching, they were monitoring all of that. So when you have that and all the pressure and all the things that's going on behind the scenes, it is a flat-out circus. But the ones that did well is the one that handled pressure.
Oh, how did you feel like you did down there?
I did pretty good, because I had a chip on my shoulder. I was mad at everybody, because they're like, oh, he's a track guy trying to play football. So I wanted to show them that I was a complete receiver, that I can get off the line of scrimmage, get the guy off the spot, lie with my eyes, chest on my knees, catch the football, block and everything. So once I solidified that and I left, I knew that I had a chance to be in the top three rounds because of what I did in the Senior Bowl.
Did you talk to – you've spoken about this, how you had no idea. You had no conversation with the Oilers, did you?
No, I had none. And the funny thing about it is I thought I was going to get picked by Washington when Robiski was a wide receiver coach, because he was consistently in contact with me. I got on the board, you know, sometimes with him and talk about coverages and formations. And then away from that, he would talk to me on the phone. So I'm like, man, this is the draft. It was late in the second round, and they had a pick. And I thought they were going to pick me. They wanted somebody else. And then the Houston Oilers, picked me to the 67th pick in the third round. And I never talked to him. That's the crazy part about it. Never talked to him, but they were just waiting in the cup because they knew there was something special waiting in the third round.
Ah, look at you, buddy. And now you're part of us. Love it, man.
Absolutely, man.
I'm glad Washington didn't pick you, because then we may have never met. So,
you're going to make me cry, man. Yeah, I appreciate that, man.
Absolutely. Chris, appreciate you. Hope that you and the family are good with all the snow and ice and everything. But appreciate it as always, and have a great weekend.
You too, man. Appreciate it. Y'all take care.
Bye-bye. You too. Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the show. We'll react to some of the things he had to say, and also Coach Fisher, as more coming here live from the Omni, 102.5 The Game.